Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Episode 222, or two repeating, of New Amsterdam Radio starts now. What's going on, citizens? What are projects you are working on? Let me know. I'm just so glad to be a part of your journey as you learn about how other people are doing it. And of course, we're here every Thursday with new episodes and new content to really boil that down. My guest this week is Rachel Hansen, and she is going to have a platform. By the time this release is probably just out this week, called Sound Sorceresses, just more or less looking towards women in the sound design and sound production space. But before we get into that, gotta say, welcome back. Hopefully you're comfortable wherever you're listening to this show, whether you're on your commute or at the gym. I thank you. NewAmsterdam.com, K-N-E-W, Amsterdam.com is where you want to go to learn more about the show and all the other programs underneath the New Amsterdam Entertainment umbrella. And this episode is brought to you apart by SeatGeek. You see, I'm not a guy who stays home all the time, even though I would love to. I'm out trying to check out all the sites, all the concerts, all the events and sports as well. In fact, I went to a couple of soccer games here in Los Angeles, and I made sure I hit up SeatGeek to get the best seats in the house. And you can too. Use promo code FLOBITO, that's F-L-O-B-I-T-O, to get $20 off your first order. Now that's a big deal. Sometimes you pay for a ticket and you understand what, like, the facility fees and taxes, how much they can rack up. SeatGeek's got you covered. Promo code FLOBITO, F-L-O-B-I-T-O, to get $20 off your first order. And New Amsterdam Radio, New Amsterdam Entertainment are proud sponsors of the Orlando Aces Florida Grid Team. Undefeated regular season, playoffs are inbound. If you're in the Florida area or just want to check out the YouTube page, Florida Grid League is a sport. Orlando Aces is the team, and this podcast and brand are proud sponsors of that. Now, everyone who listens to New Amsterdam Radio considered a creative or an entrepreneur. That's why you're all citizens in the cities for creatives, and being able to sit with people who are starting or at the beginning of their entrepreneur or creative endeavor, it just gives me extra pause. It makes me all warm and fuzzy on the inside. And so having a chat with Rachel Hansen meant the world to me. Hopefully it means the world to you too. But without any further ado, my chat with Rachel Hansen. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office on a beautiful day, kind of overcast here in Los Angeles. But you know what? Don't worry about that, because wherever you are right now, I'm sure you're having a great day too. And who's having a great day is my guest this week, Rachel Hansen, who is creating a newsletter for those in the know in the audio space. Rachel, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, Flobo, thank you so much for having me.
You know what? It's always a good time.
Yeah. And I wish it was overcast here in Minnesota, but no, it's sunny and 100 degrees, and I am, like, absolutely not built for this kind of weather.
Wait, are you Minnesota born and raised?
Not born, but raised.
Okay, and so, are you from a warmer state, colder? I'm just curious. Like,
yeah. No, so I was born in Utah.
Okay.
Right, like, I am not a Mormon, but most of my family are Mormons, and so did the whole, right, like, following Brigham Young across the plains, blah, 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 sort of thing. So, but my parents settled in Minnesota when I was, 11 years old.
Okay.
And I am way past 11 now, so.
Aren't we all? I never been to Minnesota. I drove through Utah once when I was coming out west, because I'm from Brooklyn and I live in LA now. So we got in the car, drove out west to go to grad school, and we stopped in this town called Beaver, Utah. And the whole town's a dad joke, because you could buy shirts and go, "I found Beaver in Utah. Looking for Beaver in Utah." You're like, "Oh my."
I just
want some decaf coffee and some caffeine-free soda, but all I get is Beaver jokes. But it's not about me and my road trips. Let's talk to you about your newsletter, Sound Sorceress, which is a targeted publication for women in the audio podcast space. I mean, talk to me more.
Yeah, so, you know, I think this is a little bit of a stereotype, right? Like, women talk to each other, right? Like, we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk. where I think the stereotype then kind of goes away is that we talk and then there's usually some action, right, that's involved afterwards. Now, I got into podcast production about 3 years ago and pretty quickly realized that it was men who were being highlighted in the space for like their technical skills and all that kind of thing. And so I started noticing a bunch of women going, you know, hey, like this article was really good. It's too bad you didn't include any women. And I kind of got on that bandwagon because it felt very like authentic to who I am as a person. But the comment almost every time was some version of, oh, well, we just couldn't find any women to talk about this very specific technical thing. Hmm. And I'm going, really? Uh-huh. But here are all these women in your comment section.
Yeah.
Who are doing, right, like the work of podcast production, who seem like they know what they're talking about, but you can't find any women. Sure. Who are talking about this topic. It feels like maybe, right, like the general you, like you're not actually trying very hard, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so then I kind of started thinking like, okay, so like this is bothering me. What am I going to do about it, right? Like, what do I see other people doing? Because I made kind of a racial comment before we hit record, right? Like about how white people communicate and how Black people communicate and how we communicate with each other and all of this. So one thing that I wanted to be really cognizant of was, okay, this is bugging me, but like I know as a person who lives in society that there's a pretty decent chance that there's a Black woman who's already maybe doing something that I'm imagining is needed. And in this case, that turned out to not be the case.
Right.
And so I went, okay, like, so what am I going to do? And what was really born out of like all of this thinking and all of this talking was a quarterly magazine that's highlighting women who are working in podcasting. Now, if anybody who's listening to this, right? If you listen to this episode when it drops, our magazine will have been out for 12 days. So you, if you want to be like, oh, wow, this sounds awesome, you're going to be among the first to read the magazine. So yeah, all of that, right? Like, I feel like that was just kind of like stream of consciousness out of my mouth. But right, like that was really the idea behind it. Sure. Right? Like, how are we getting women talking about this thing that they're really passionate about and really good at?
Yeah, it's interesting because you'll hear that refrain, oh man, there's not enough women around, a lot of times, whether it's like STEM, whether it's sports, there's always some guy in a suit being like, we tried, we just couldn't find anything. And I start to feel like, hey, I think this BS meter is hitting me too as a man, which is interesting because typically we would be blind to the strife of our female compatriots. And so talk about the sound of the sound of sound sorceresses. Like what is the impetus behind the name? Why try to go that direction? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to contributors?
Yeah, so I think to me the name really specifically is kind of like thumbing our noses at like the S sound very specifically, right? Like if you are working in audio production and you hear somebody use a word that begins with an S, right, like I can almost imagine it, right? Like the person sitting there at the desk going, oh my gosh. Yeah. This is, but it turns out that, you know, S is just a regular part of our, the sounds that we make as humans who are speaking.
For sure. Like the T flashes in the P-pop filter.
Right. So a little bit of it was like, hey, so I know y'all hate this sound, but it's really important, so we're going to use it twice. But also, I think that as audio producers, we really are like we're doing something that is very magical, right? And maybe that sounds a little like woo woo, whatever. But yes, there's a science to audio and all of this stuff, but really, like being the person behind the screen and making like a conversation, like what we're having, sound like people are expecting it to when they're listening to a podcast, you know, while they're on their commute to work or they're mowing the lawn or whatever. Right. There really is something magical about that. And I think it's important that the name of the publication reflects that. And I've gotten from our contributors, and we have 8 women who are in our very first edition who are just, like, honestly, I kind of feel like the nerdy kid in middle school who somehow found herself at the table of cool kids.
Oh, wow. Can't right. relate, but here it's cool. Yeah.
Right, like I'm just this weird person with an idea, and all these cool kids are like, hey, do you want to come sit with us? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I'll come in. Same with you guys.
Yeah.
So, right, like these 8 women who are in the first edition really are, like the feedback that I've gotten from them has been very kind of rooted in that magic of what we do as podcast producers and creators, is that we're making something amazing that is magic in how we relate to each other.
So talk to me about like the idea. The idea, it's happening. It's actually as occurred as we're recording this. What's right. it like getting the team to join? Was it like Voltron? Was it more an Avengers situation? Like, how did you like reach out to contributors and go, this is a movement, jump on in?
Yeah. So it started out with Steph Fuccio and I, and Steph is an American expat. She lives in Denmark. And she and I kind of like got into this idea, and Steph is really incredible at connecting people. And so when we had this idea, she was like, here, I'm just going to start connecting with people. And so I was doing a lot of kind of reaching out to women that I had honestly never met before, but really admired, right? Like, right, like I'm the fangirl in this situation, right? I'm a big Star Trek fan, and so we go to a fair amount of cons and get the autographs and things like that. So like the feel to me was a lot like waiting in line for an autograph and then being like, could you do this thing, please?
Yeah.
And then having them, you know, like, I don't know, we met Jonathan Frakes somewhat recently. He came to a convention in Minneapolis. And so, right, like it's me going, hey, Jonathan Frakes, could you like sign this picture that we have? And him going, well, yeah, of course I will. Right. And like,
yeah.
So was really just reaching out to a lot of women. And what was like really became clear to me as I'm doing all this outreach and saying, hey, would you be interested in writing an article about your experience in podcasting? And I think I kind of want to call attention to like that shift and change, right? Like at the beginning, I was talking about technical expertise. And it sort of shifted into, do you want to talk about your experience in podcasting? Because I noticed that a lot of how we're experiencing this space, mm-hmm. Is just as much about like relating to each other in like these very like human situations, mm-hmm. as much as it is right, like step one, make sure that you have a good pair of headphones. Step two, if you have to use a USB mic, well, okay, don't, but also if you do, hear the USB hikes, so you're right, gonna write like step three. So there was a lot of that shift. And really what I was noticing was that women wanted to talk about these things. And so as we're building community, a lot of it is, people being really enthusiastic. Like, yeah, I have something to say about this. And so thank you for giving the space. But also just a lot of, sorry, this is very stream of conscious, but a lot of grace, right? Like we're giving a lot of grace to each other and building this thing. And so like a lot of it is just, it's not super glamorous, right? Like I think if you are, like as a person in my early 20s, when I was looking at content creators, it seemed like the life was very glamorous, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh yeah, you can just quit your job and travel the world and people will pay you to take photos or, and it's been a while since I was in my early 20s too, but so like podcasts weren't really a thing.
There were waves, yeah.
Right. But you know, and so, but a lot of this building is like really, really not glamorous at all. Right. It's a lot of like reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, would you be willing to try this thing with me? And taking the no, or trying a social media strategy and having it be like actually the worst thing you've ever done. And so you go, no, I'm not going to do that. Right. Like,
right.
Like my people are not on, I mean, I don't know, my people are on Facebook. And so I'm not gonna, you know, or like whatever it is, right?
Right.
Like we all see the front, right? Like, hey, this amazing thing is happening, right? Like I love New Amsterdam podcast, or I think that Sound Sorceresses is really cool. right, like people see the front of that. Like I think that when we're talking about like building a business and building something that is really cool, it's also like, no, actually New Amsterdam was a failed stationery business before it was.
True story.
before it was this amazing podcast that I love to listen to. And Sound Sorceresses is a really cool idea and I like the articles. But they raised $100 in capital before the launch of the magazine. And, right? Like, right? Like,
wow.
I feel good about that, but also, right? Like, I have bigger vision. So I'm excited, but also hungry for more. right. And, you know, like Rachel, before she does press for this, right, she's going, okay, it's a weekend morning and I've been in my pajamas all day. I better like super quick have a shower before I have to get on this show so that like I look cleanish, which is also a true story, right? Like,
right. The best of ways are true, yeah.
yeah. So like there's a lot of that like kind of grittiness of it, right? That like, no, you don't just wake up with a beautiful background and great hair or a freshly waxed head.
Hey.
And, and have something be amazing and support you.
Sure. You know? I mean, that's definitely the case. You had mentioned you're a Star Trek fan. It's a quick anecdote because I'm a Star Trek fan too, but I did it in reverse, right? My first Star Trek is Discovery and I went backwards. So growing up, Jonathan Frakes was the guy from Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, not Riker. Like I appreciate him as Riker afterwards. It's always weird about that. But about perception though, I mean, your platform Sound Sorceresses is going to be launching live on Substack. And I was actually curious as to why there. I know that's where a lot of people come together for publications, but yeah, other options out there on the interwebs. Why did you decide to go with that distribution platform?
Oh, sure. So I think when it really came down to it, kind of figuring out how to build the hype, right? Because you mentioned at the top of the episode that there's a newsletter that's associated with it too. And I went, well, a newsletter needs to happen, right? Like that's something that makes a lot of sense for like building excitement for the magazine itself. And Steph Fuccio, who I mentioned a minute ago, she has a really great newsletter on Substack. And she went, hey, like I can help you by doing this newsletter on Substack. And I went, all right, awesome. That sounds great to me. Because it is a great platform, right, for newsletters themselves. But, and for a while, I was actually going full steam ahead, trying to honestly build the capital to just like buy a website that would host the magazine itself. And we're still working on that. The money's not there yet. And I went, okay, so like, let's flip this a little bit, right? Like what's something that's maybe a little bit more affordable? Because that's a big piece of it.
Cost effective.
But I also started thinking, okay, but also we have this newsletter on Substack to tell people about our authors and to get them excited about the magazine. Why would we send them away from Substack? Why is it, should all their Sound Sources content just be there? And there's also an option for uploading PDFs to Substack. And so the magazine itself is built with Flip and Stack.
Right.
But you just set it up as a PDF. And then you can link it. So that was really kind of like the mechanism for making that happen. Was we didn't want people getting used to a platform and then, oh, wait, hold up. I got to go someplace else now for the magazine.
True.
And there's the cost piece to it also. But then I was just paying the one cost for Flip and Stack and not that and website hosting.
Yeah, minimizing friction points is always a good thing, right?
Right. Well, you know, one thing that really appeals to me about like content creation and storytelling as like a way to make your living is how flexible it can be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're self-employed, and your kid wakes up with a stomach flu in the middle of the night, well, then you don't have to be worrying about, like, calling your boss at 2 in the morning to say, hey, I'm not going to be into work.
Right.
And bringing it back around to, like, that cost piece, right? I think a lot of us who are right, Luke, we've got our podcasts or we're working on a publication or a newsletter or whatever. Like we need it to be flexible because our lives are busy and complicated.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not wrong about that. Yeah.
Right. Which also means that like you don't have a lot of extra cash just laying around to be like, oh, hey, yeah. I'm going to pay for this thing and then whatever, no big deal. I'm going to pay for this other thing too.
Right.
Like, no, right. Like kind of minimizing that when you're a new business, I think is super important.
So let me ask you that question then with raising the capital, you have skin in the game and you know that any business aside, takes time to get an audience and ramp up. And there's always runway, how much time and lead you have. How would you measure success from issue one? How do you know if you're on the right track? How do you know to keep going? How do you know when to cut loose if it doesn't work out the way you want to? What's been like your benchmarks right here laid out?
Yeah, you know, I think for right now, my big benchmark is community building, right? Like that excitement that I was getting from women specifically, like, hey, like we need a space to talk about these experiences. right, like just me kind of running with this big idea yeah. and going, oh wait, no, like there is actually a need for something like this. That to me is a big benchmark for success. And then kind of just in the wild a little bit, right? Like hearing about, like I was in a networking meeting with Broads in Progress. So shout out to them the other day.
Love the name.
Anyway, and I said, hey, yeah, I'm just like, I'm working on this magazine. It's called Sound Sorceresses. And somebody who I had never met before went, oh my gosh, I've heard of your magazine.
Wow. That's great.
No, I was like,
I usually get who? Oh my,
right? Like, what's I never met you. Yeah, yeah. Right? So like that kind of like community building and interaction for me, super huge. But I think that the other piece of it with the, because you mentioned like the time, right? Like how much time do you put into it before you cut loose and all of this kind of thing? The fact that this is a quarterly publication is a very thoughtful decision on my part. Right? Like I don't have the mental bandwidth or the really like the time to put out a monthly magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's important to me that the product is like of high quality and all of that kind of stuff. And so I think also recognizing that when you are starting, I mean, honestly, any kind of business, right? Like working hard to scale up in a way that's sustainable to you. Because it's really easy, right? It's so easy to get excited about some big idea that you have and then burn out almost immediately because you're trying to do all of the things, right?
Yep.
But then also recognizing, right, like that this awesome idea you have that people are seem to be excited about, it's going to take a little bit longer to build to like what your vision is.
Absolutely.
But I think that that level of self-acceptance is also maybe weirdly, but kind of a marker for success. Right? Like that level of self-acceptance and going, no, like, this is what I can do. And it is amazing. And it's enough for what's needed in the space.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because before we went live, you had mentioned that you do have, as the kids say, a job IRL, you know, a day job. And a lot of times people decide to make a hobby, a side hustle, outside of this conversation, of course. There's always a pressure to make a certain kind of money, or if you like something, you're passionate about something, you have to go ahead and monetize it. So the idea you're saying, hey, look, there's a bit of self-acceptance in there. Gotta give yourself some time to build up the base is pretty cool. And I think people can pull from that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, well, why don't you be successful, y'all? And that way you can say, she was on our show before she was successful. Guest for creative. Rachel Hansen, before we get out of here, I always ask my guests some questions, some funsies. Are you down for a little bit of a lightning round?
I'm ready.
All right, okay. What is, in your opinion, the greatest gift you ever received?
Okay, stick with me for this one. Okay. A beach towel.
Wow, that, yes.
Okay, I'm sticking with I know. All right, so it's my 18th birthday. I'm getting ready to move out, right, I had a few comebacks to my parents' house, but this first time ever, right? Like, I'm getting ready to move out. It's my 18th birthday. And my parents got me, well, they got me a toolkit, which was helpful and super practical. And they got me a beach towel. 18-year-old Rachel was devastated, right? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is what I got for my birthday.
Yeah.
A toolkit and a beach towel. Now the tool served me really well. That beach towel, and I keep mentioning my age, and I don't know why I haven't just said it. I'm not like shy about my age. I'm 35. So that beach towel has now been with me, right, for my entire adult life.
Yeah.
Right. Almost 18 years, really. and has gotten so much use, right? Both as a beach towel. Has nothing to do with content creation, right? But I have three kids and I nursed all of them. But when I was at work, right, then I'm pumping at work. That beach towel is what I'd hang up on the door for the privacy. It's just been, right, initially a gift that was a giant letdown and has turned out to be extremely useful.
I thought they were going to sit you down and tell you a legend of a beach towel that like fought crime or something. I guess it worked out. But at first, I would be upset too.
If you
never
met my parents, actually, that wouldn't have surprised me at all if that's how it worked out. But
I had no idea where the story was going.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Just like a very practical, long-lived gift that I still have.
And I respect that.
So, yeah, beach towel. It was a good one.
Do you believe in days off? And if so, how do you spend them?
In theory, yes. I do believe in days off.
In theory.
Because, well, so my day job, right? I'm a unionized employee. So like Labor Day, which is when we're recording this, very significant in our family because labor unions are a big part of how we do business. But as mentioned, I am also the parent to three young kids. An actual day off where I could just sit on the couch and have a bunch of popcorn and maybe an adult beverage. Those days aren't going to be around for a really long time.
Oh, no.
Around here, right? Because, right now my kids are 9, 7, and 5. So, there's always, somebody's asking me for a snack or, there's a bunch of laundry that he's doing or, the dishes need to get done or, whatever. So it could be a while before I get a for real life day off where I'm not actually doing any work for myself or anybody else.
And it's so simple. I actually want to airlift you some popcorn and wine or something. I feel like I'll donate to that cause. Why not?
Yeah. No, I do eat a lot of popcorn actually. We have a movie theater style popcorn popper in our
nice.
There's always popcorn around, but, even just sitting around with nobody.
Yeah.
Asking for anything or hey, I'm just going to ignore that there are 4 or 5 days worth of dishes sitting in the kitchen.
I live alone. I do that. It's hard work, but I make it happen.
I believe in you, right?
Right.
But yeah, so yes, I do believe in days off. And I think that it's important to take time where you can to for real do nothing. But also, right, there are seasons in your life where that's not going to be possible. And I think that's kind of part of the acceptance that we talked about a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Right. That you might not get a whole day where you can just sit on your ass and do nothing.
Right. Actually, Dove tells him my next question. Do you have a travel bucket list? And if so, where or who is on it? What is on it? Where is on it?
A travel bucket. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to shout out actually one of my coworkers. His name is Jeremiah, and he is from Kenya. He immigrated to the United States. And he travels back to Kenya very regularly because he's building a clinic and library in the village that he grew up in. Seeing that is on my bucket list because he talks about it so fondly every single time he comes back from Kenya. I've got to see this thing.
Oh, yeah.
So rural Kenya on the list. And it was on the list before Star Trek Strange New Worlds made Kenya the place to be.
Right.
But then I think kind of, this is going to sound so cliche, but like just traveling around Europe,
At all. Europe's huge.
I mean, right.
I really want to go to Starbucks in Belgium. I'm like, wait a minute. But if you want to go see Europe for the culture of it, why not?
I mean, right. So I did go to France with my grandparents when I was a young adult. My grandpa taught French at the University of Oklahoma for his whole career. And so they very graciously took me on a trip when I graduated from high school. And that was really cool. But I wouldn't totally crap on the, like, going to a chain that you're used to in a different country, because it's still going to be different.
Okay.
Right? Like, McDonald's in Paris, way different than McDonald's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Right? So, right, like, it could be kind of interesting to see, like, okay, how does this country view fast food?
True.
How is it different from how I'm viewing fast food as an American? So, like, don't just do that. But I say don't crap on it either.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the best McDonald's is in St. Paul, Minnesota. I never knew about that. You know what I mean? Like, someday I'll make it out of St. Paul.
Who doesn't like a quarter pounder with cheese, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. If you're a vegan and you're listening to this show, I'm very sorry. But...
it's too late now.
But I do like myself a quarter pounder with cheese.
Fair enough.
Going through the
treat yourself. Why
you
not?
Know?
Dude, when I was 9 years old, McDonald's was like an everyday thing. You just ask for it. Hopefully you get it. Sometimes you don't. Yo, ma. McDonald's?
Right. Well, my spouse and I both, you know, have regular full-time jobs. Like, we both work outside our home. And so McDonald's is a pretty regular thing. And my kids are like, McDonald's isn't a treat. And rightly, kid Rachel is still like, what do you mean this isn't a treat? Like, you get a meal in a cute little box. It has a toy in it.
You kids don't understand anything.
Right, but I don't know. I guess that's just the benefit of doing slightly better than your own parents did, right? Like, sure, that's something that is still a treat to you. Not a treat to them.
I always wonder with kids appreciate toys anymore if it's not like a screen or doesn't talk back to them or doesn't have cool phrases. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not electronic, I always wonder if they're into, like, you know, wooden blocks. Is that a still thing? I don't know.
It's still a thing. Okay. Or at least in my house, it still is a thing.
Thank goodness. But we're not here talking about blocks. Sound Sorceresses is going to be live as this episode will be released. Rachel, thanks so much for being on the show. And I hope all success in the world for you and your publication. You. But if someone's listening right now and they want to connect with you or learn more about you or your platform, how do they go about doing that?
Sure. So they can visit Sound Sorceresses itself at soundsorceresses.substack.com. If you want to learn more about me, I would say LinkedIn is probably the best place for you to do that, because there are a million Rachel Hansons in the world. It's a popular name.
You say that with edge, like there's a million of them, but I'm number one.
Well, I mean, I'm not even though. There's like an Olympic athlete who is also named Rachel Hanson. So like when I search myself, it's her at the top.
Fair enough.
So my maiden name is also on my LinkedIn. My maiden name is Kelson, K-E-L-S-O-N. So if you're looking for me, Rachel Kelson Hansen on LinkedIn.
I just followed.
Oh, well, thank you.
We have a mutual connection. I had no idea.
Is it James?
No, it's Marlene Sharp, who was actually an episode of past episode.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got to teach a period of her class with Center for Learning Unlimited.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. The small world indeed. This is why you should always be on LinkedIn if you're listening on the corporate side. Even though I poo-poo on it and I go, no, man, it's a grandpa's and people that want to brag about stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, well, and you know, like, Your racist uncle is on Facebook. So, like, what are you going to pick?
Yeah, the guy who's bragging about trying new employee recruits that no one really gave him a chance to. But I did. But hey, we love LinkedIn. We love social media. We love connecting. Thank you so much for being on the show. I wish the world of luck and success. And of course, if you become famous, please send me an autograph. I'll send a self-addressed and envelope.
I will do that. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW Amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.